I want to talk to you today about strife or selfish ambition. We want to look at this thought. Selfish ambition causes strife, and strife produces slander, hate, and division. Selfish ambition destroys homes, churches, and nations. Many churches have been totally destroyed right here in Knoxville because of people seeking their own way. I've actually heard people say, not in this church, but actually say, I'm going to get this changed if it destroys the whole place. That is selfish ambition, and God cannot and will not bless that. Selfish desire and personal ambition causes fights and quarrels in your home, in your marriage, with your children, at work, and at church, no matter where you are. This is a very destructive thing, selfish ambition and strife. You want something, verse 2, you want something but don't get it. You kill and covet. You do everything you can to get what you want. And some of you even consider murder. That's what he's actually implying here. You want something but you don't get it. You kill and covet. You don't necessarily kill with a gun or a knife. I mean, you can destroy people's reputation and kill the reputation with your tongue. And a lot of people do that, and that's happened in many churches. Thank God, not this one. Not that I know of. You want something, but don't get it. You kill with your tongue and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You have a fit, and you still don't get what you want. Well, if that doesn't work, maybe we should try something else. Maybe we should try something else. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And a lot of times we don't ask God because we know that God can't bless what we want. Amen. The favorite weapon of the Marxist is always strife. Our enemies know the power of strife and division. And that's what the devil is always up to. The devil's always behind selfish ambition and strife. Selfish ambition is a major cause of divorce. The husband, I want what I want. The wife, I want what I want. I've had to learn you cannot be that way. You have to love your mate enough to want what they want. Somebody say amen. It's not about me. It's about me taking care of Dottie and loving Dottie and making sure she's happy and do everything I can to see that she gets everything she wants. That's my job. I'm lousy at it, but it's my job. And somebody gave us this giant house. My goal was to sell it and give a lot of money to the church and all this kind of stuff. And Dottie never had a nice house, so she said, I want to live in this house. And guess where Dottie's living? In that house. And it's about to bankrupt me. I mean, it costs more to live in that house than it does to buy most houses. And so I know a lot of you are glad for Dottie, but help us pray that we can pay for everything. And, of course, I'm kidding a little bit because God has met every need, have no complaints. But the point is, I want her to stay in that house as long as we possibly can. Amen. I really don't like where it is because it takes so long to get back over here. And it takes me a lot longer to get to church. And if I'm teaching like my class at night, I got to come through that traffic. The expressway seems to always have a wreck or something on it. I'm sitting out there so patiently beating on the steering wheel. Patiently beating. And say, God, why can't I move back to my house? If Dottie wants to live there, I can handle the traffic. Did I hear somebody say that's right? I live my life for that, just to hear that. That's right. You see, we need to understand what the Bible teaches about strife and completely reject it. God's people must be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, impartial, and sincere, not self-seeking. We need to be seeking the welfare. The Bible says the well-being of others. When you're driving in traffic down Cedar Bluff and you see somebody trying to get out, they can't get out, do you tap the brakes and let them out? We have got, as born-again believers especially, start putting other people first. And there's some place on Cedar Bluff, if people don't let you out, you'll never get out. Thank God that most Knoxvillians are good people. Can you say it? They will let you out. James chapter 4, verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. What are you praying for? You see, if you're praying, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I'm praying for something for myself and it seems to be slow in coming, I stop. And I start praying for the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I start praying for you who are praying for healing and deliverance. I start praying for people who have special needs. I put my want aside and begin to pray and intercede for you. And when I do, God works a miracle for me. That happened years ago. When we came here, we had a brand new house in Lexington. And we had to take what we could get here, but God worked it out. It's a decent house, but it's a lot cheaper than one we had bought in Lexington, but it's okay. I knew that God would one day give us a house. And so I began to pray because I felt like it was God's time after about 6 or 7 years being here. That it's time for us to find another house. And I began to pray about it, and it seemed like nothing would work. The house we were in, the basement, had not been finished off. Somebody had tried to, but they did a horrible job. You could push on the walls and it'd wobble. Look at this. And really all that needed to be torn out and redone. Well, I mean, that cost a small fortune. So I said, okay, I'm going to forget about this getting a new house. I'm just going to focus on this church, on these people, love these people, put the kingdom first, and you can worry about the house. And somebody in the church was a carpenter, and they came over and looked at that basement and said, I can fix that. They completely redid the basement of that house, and it turned it into a beautiful basement with a beautiful bedroom and a large room there with a fireplace, a stove. I'd put that in, but they turned it into a real nice place, put in a real nice bathroom downstairs, and then I wanted to stay. But the realtor started showing it, and that house very quickly sold. When I quit worrying about it, put the kingdom first, put people first. God, now I've been trying to live that way my whole life. It works. It works. Put the kingdom first, put people first, and God will take care of the house. Anybody believe that? And we've had an experience like that. It works. Selfish ambition will always get you in hot water. I want what I want. I want a new house. You may want to just fall in love with the one you have and then God will give you another one. Be grateful that you're not living on the bridge. Amen. People want their own selfish way, and I can get that way too if I don't remind myself of what I preach. Remind myself of the Word of God. Strife can hinder our prayer, which can prevent us from receiving an answer. If you want it for all the wrong reasons, God might not answer. Strife hinders businesses, churches, and nations. Selfish ambition and strife have no positive benefits. Like I said, people fuss and fight and quarrel and never get what they want. It produces nothing positive. Only love, joy, peace, and godliness have positive benefits. When you put the kingdom first, put people first, begin to love people, put yourself second, then God can do something. In James chapter 3, I'm just reading the Bible, so let's just listen to the Bible. James 3:14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Selfish ambition causes strife. It will cause a divorce. It will cause your business to fail. It will cause all kind of problems in your church. Strife has to go. And strife causes confusion and division no matter where it is or where it crops up. Verse 15, such wisdom. Now, wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. Wisdom is a wise way of doing business. This says such wisdom, this way of doing things, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. When you're trying to get your way through selfish ambition and strife, fussing and fighting and quarrel, it says this comes from the devil. Satan is behind all strife and all division. He knows that will help him accomplish his purpose of destroying people, destroying churches, destroying businesses, destroying homes, and destroying nations. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and is of the devil. Verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, selfish goals, there you find disorder in every evil practice, every evil work. Strife is good ground for every evil work to take place. When we have strife in our midst, it opens the door to the devil. Internal strife has always been used to bring down nations, as seen with Russia when they fell to communism, and China and Cuba, and all these nations that fell to communism. They use strife and rebellion and division to bring those nations down. They've been trying the same thing, the United States of America, for years. But God has been with us, and they hadn't been able to do it, but they keep trying. Their number one goal is strife and hate and revenge and get even. And when you fall into that, you become the problem. The way out is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, loving people, helping people, blessing people, being good Samaritans, blessing people instead of trying to have what you want. That's true of all of us. Put the kingdom first, verse 17. But the wisdom, I love the way the Bible, it compares things. It gives you the bad side. Let's look at the good side. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, God's way of doing things, is first of all pure. Pure motive. It's not about me. It's about the Lord and his people. It's about people coming to Jesus Christ. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now just think of approaching your marriage that way. Your ambition, your goal is pure. It's not all about you. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I know people say, well, the Bible says a wife is to submit to her husband. It does say that. But there are times when the husband needs to submit to the wife. There's time or two. Well, once that I can remember in 53 years of marriage that I thought it was right. And I submitted to her. You have to have a submissive attitude. You don't have to always be right. I mean, even though I'm always right, I have to just pretend I'm not. You see, this is a good way of doing things, is to love people, care about people, put them first. If you can, you know, if it involves any kind of immorality, you can't do that. I had a wife counseling with me years ago, and she said her husband wanted her to have sex with other men. She said, well, I got to submit to my husband. I said, you absolutely do not. That's sin against God. You draw the line there, lady. You serve God first. God is first. You don't do immoral, ungodly things. Y'all pay attention. There's some things you can't do. But if you can help people and bless people morally, that's different. We must be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere, and put the interests of others ahead of ourselves. This is how we have a healthy, successful marriage and family. The only hobby that I've ever really had was flying airplanes. And as a kid, my ambition was, a goal was to be a pilot. And then God messed all that up by calling me to this job. But God did allow me in seminary to have a friend that had a plane. And he began to take me for rides in it. And I got an instructor. He recommended some people. And I began to take flying lessons and got my pilot's license. Now when the policeman asked me why I'm flying down the road, I said, well, what gives you the right to fly down the road like this? I said, I got a pilot's license. But I got married, and then we wanted to have children. Then I realized that if I was going to be able to take care of this family, these children, I had to give up flying because it's so expensive. So I gave it up. About the only real hobby I ever had. My hobby is work, 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 work. Yay. But I gave it up because I love my family more than I did flying. And that's what we're talking about. Some people are so full of selfish ambition, they're going to have their way if it wrecks their family. No, no, no. It's better to have a happy family than to fly an airplane. Somebody say amen. Selfish ambition. I know y'all don't need this, but I do, so just listen. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. You know I've searched the Bible, been studying it my whole life, and nowhere does it say blessed are the troublemakers. Nowhere. Well, I'm going to cause trouble around here. Do I get these things straightened out? I'm afraid that's not in the Bible. I know it's not in the Bible. God blesses peacemakers. And the best way to get changed is to pray it in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. God blesses the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. It says, remind the people to be obedient. Remind the people to be ready to do whatever is good. Remind the people to be ready to do whatever is good, not what you want to do. What's good for other people. And normally, if it's good for them, it'll also be good for you. Verse 2, to slander no one, to be peace-loving and considerate, and to show the humility, and to show true humility toward all men. Don't let anyone fill your heart with hate and rebellion. Do not slander, be peace-loving and considerate, and slow and show true humility. Be humble toward all men. Humble yourself. This is a scripture I get to in a little bit, I think, that says, humble yourself before the hand of God and he will exalt you. All born-again believers must be submissive, peace-loving, considerate, and loving. It is not about what we want. It's about what is best for others. So let's look at Absalom, King David's son. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 4. This, in my opinion, is the perfect example of what selfish ambition and strife can do. Absalom stood outside the gate in order to create strife and rebellion against his own father, King David. Moreover, it says, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Only if you would make me the king, and everyone who has any suit or case would come to me, and I would give him justice. Oh, if I could just be king. My father is doing a terrible job. But if I could be king, I'd take good care of all of you, and you'd have no more problems. How many know he would make a great modern American politician? Vote for me, and your problems will be over. And then we vote, and that one gets elected, and problems multiply, get worse. It wasn't about them solving my problems. It's about them having their own selfish, ambitious way. They wanted to be elected, and they'll lie, steal, cheat, do anything they can to get there, and that's what Absalom is doing. He's just flat lying. Oh, my dad's doing a terrible job. Watch out for people full of selfish ambition. Vote for me, and I'll take care of you. And what I would say to him, if you'll stay out of my way, take all your regulations and get out of my life, I'll take care of myself. When they keep piling all the regulations that you can't even make a living, can you say amen? My daddy was able to farm. He produced everything we ate, just about everything. My uncle had a grocery store, and I worked for my uncle in the grocery store for years. And mama would come through the line, and she'd have almost nothing in her basket. Everybody else's basket would be full. Mamas would cost almost nothing, but everyone else, and I was the also I ran the cash register after a while and checked people out. Mama always had practically no bill at all because Daddy raised everything. He butchered our own pigs, hogs, our cattle. He provided the meat. My uncle had the grocery store. He'd take the meat down there and let it cure for a little while in the cooler, and he produced everything. Today, that is so regulated, you can't hardly even do any of that anymore. If the government stay out of our way, we take care of ourselves. Can you say amen? If I want to raise a pig and eat it, that should be my business. Well, what about disease? Well, I need to have the thing checked myself. I don't need the government checking it. Somebody say amen. I'm no farm boy. I learned all this the hard way. Interfere, interfere, interfere. I say, if you'll just get out of my way, I'll take care of myself. I don't need you politicians. Just keep a good, healthy, free, crime-free environment so I can make a living without getting shot. Somebody say amen. But Absalom he stood at that gate, and oh, that I were made judge in the land. Well, if I could just be the pastor of this church, it'd be the best church in the world. If I could just serve on the board, I'd be so much better than all these other board members. Why do you want a position? Now, I'm not talking about anybody. Our people are happy, wonderful. And somebody has a tendency to think, well, it must be something wrong with yours. There's nothing wrong in the church that I know about. We got the best people in the world. But I'm just talking about that church down the road. Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or case would come to me, and I would give him justice. Watch out for those lying clowns. They don't have your interest at heart. Watch it when they get elected. It's all about them strutting around like peacocks. Verse 5, and so it was, I don't mean to put anybody down, but you need to watch out for selfish ambition. Why does a guy want a position in the church? Why does he want a position in the community? Why does he want to be a senator or a congressman? Why does he want to be president? Why does he want to have any position at all? Try to discern with God's help what his motive is before you vote for him. And I don't know why I said that, but it just sounds good. And so it was, whenever anyone came, he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. Like I said, a great American politician named Absalom. Verse 6, in this manner, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. This is true selfish ambition. All he wanted was to be king. He didn't care anything about the people. The Israelites grew to love Absalom more than King David. Absalom's ambition to be king caused him to drive his own father from the throne, and he had actually had plans to kill his own dad. But the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. And it says, they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they that strive with thee shall perish. So God stepped in and took Absalom out and restored David. That's a good lesson. If we'll be faithful to God like David, God's got our back. God's got our back. Even against selfish people who cause strife and do everything they can to destroy your job, your business, your work, your family, your home, your church, no matter what they do, if you'll stay true to God, God's got your back. Amen. I found that out as a pastor. A pastor can't defend himself because he just can't. If people tell a tale, if you defend yourself, you look guilty. So you just have to trust God. And over the years, I've had people the devil sent in. He intended to destroy the church. They never really want to destroy the pastor. They want to destroy the people because they're sent by the devil. Jesus called them tares. They come in to harm the sheep. And I've learned mostly just pray, and God will take them out every time. So if you're a terror, just go ahead and look out. Yay. There's no terrors here that I know anything about. The Israelites grew to love Absalom more than King David. Absalom's ambition to be king caused him to attack his own father. We need to understand how cruel selfish ambition and strife can be. The ambition of the Marxists and the communists is to stir up anger, hate, and strife to create division, and we the citizens need to know what they're doing and pay attention. They're not here to help you. If you think they are, you are sadly mistaken. The people in Russia in the early 1900s probably thought the communists were going to be good for them, but look what happened. They murdered millions of them, took them out in the dark, and shot them in the head. Property owners got shot in the head. You can't complain about somebody taking your property if you're shot in the head. And they took all the property away from the people, and it belonged to the government. They slander good people so they will be hated and not trusted. They slander preachers. I've even had some of my sermons listed as hate speech on social media simply because I read the Bible. Somebody say amen. You've never heard me preach any kind of hate. You know better. But these people, they lie. They pick out something. They lie and say God's people preach hate. This is the way Satan and his people do things. This is all demonic. We say Marxist, communist, secular humanist. It's all Satan working through these people. It even says that he works through the children of disobedience. So this is not the way God's people should behave. This is the way the devil's crowd behaves. Churches should be a safe place where people are trying to help each other and bless each other, encourage each other, and give to each other, rather than trying to come up with some scheme to have their way. I had a guy one time, he had some kind of business, filter business of some sort. I don't remember what it was now, and he gave me one. I said, well, thank you. I don't think I ever used it. But I didn't want to, insult him, so I took it. And then he came back, well, how many of these have you sold? I said, what? What do you mean, how many have I sold? Well, you need to help me sell them. I said, here, you can have it back. I do not allow people to fleece this church. If you have a business, fine. And we'll tell people you got a business. And if they want to come to your business, fine. If they don't, leave them alone. We don't fleece people at the Gnostic Christian Center. And here again, somebody's going to think, well, this church has got problems. No, that hadn't happened in years and years because I scared them off. Not here. We're not here for selfish reasons. We may have a selfish thought, but we need to get rid of it. We're still here, but need to get rid of it. Is this pretty good, or do I need to hurry up? Hurry up, okay. Can you imagine Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. doing what some Americans are doing today? He was a preacher who believed in and promoted Christian values. Now, I know a little bit about him. He wasn't perfect, but what he preached and taught was good. For the most part, it was very good. He totally rejected hate. His dream was a day when all people, black, white, brown, any color, would be judged by their character, not by their color. That's the way it has to be if we're going to be a great nation. A diverse nation, as I was preaching the other day. He never called for white people to be punished for their whiteness. All white people are evil. And you remember, I was growing up in his day. I remember him like yesterday. He never one time ever preached any kind of hate or revenge or get even ever that I remember. He did not say all white people are evil, as you hear some people saying today. All white people are not evil. All black people are not evil. All Hispanic people are not evil. But any race can have people who have hatred in their heart. It's not a certain race that has that. It's anybody that listens to the devil can hate someone. Somebody say amen. Dr. Martin Luther King understood that. All he was wanting was a level playing field so everyone would have equal opportunity. And that's what makes America great. For America to be great, it has to be that way. And to be a good born-again Christian, we have to believe that and do that as much as we can. The way of the secular humanist and Marxist is a path of strife and hate. The way of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was love and peace. Hate gets even, love lets it go. Dr. Martin Luther King totally rejected the hatred and the violence we're seeing today. He said, hate, have you ever read any of his writings or his sermons? Hate cannot, and of course, like I grew up under him, or when he was doing his campaigns, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Read that with me. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Read again. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. Wow. That'll preach. He said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. The one carrying the hate has the greatest burden. Let it go. As in the case of the Good Samaritan, love is always the answer. You driving along, you're black, you see a white man in the ditch, stop and get him out and take him to the hospital or call an ambulance to help him. You're black, you're white, you drive along, see a black man in the ditch, stop and help him. Love him. Get him some care. Get him to the hospital. Get him to the doctor. Call him, whatever you got to do. Or a Hispanic guy or an Asian guy in the ditch, get him out. Help him. Bless him. That is what would change America and make it once again a good, healthy environment all over this country if we would just start being good Samaritans. If we would start today doing unto others as we'd have them do unto us, all crime would stop today. It's that simple. And I think the number one reason people do evil is selfish ambition. I want it, and so I'm going to rob a bank to get it. Whatever. Or steal somebody's car. I want a car. I'm going to steal one. God doesn't mind you having a car. He wants you to trust him to get you a car. Love drives out all racial hatred. Love everyone. Strife can destroy you, can destroy your family. Stephanie, our oldest daughter, came back from college. This was years ago. They're grown and long gone. Thank you, Jesus. And she came home, and the kids had always really loved each other and had a good relationship. And boy, strife was all over them. I said, what happened to these kids? And the Lord just showed me it's the spirit of strife. So I gathered them around me, and I rebuked that spirit of strife, and I felt it leave. And later on, one of them said, but when Daddy prayed that, I felt something leave. Listen, you don't have to let strife, it can be a demonic spirit, especially if you entertain it. And you have authority over that thing to drive it out. Get it out of your family before it destroys your family. It can destroy your church. I came into church one Sunday morning. This has been years and years and years ago. I've been here forever. And this church is always a loving, friendly, happy environment like you feel right now. You just feel peace in here. It feels good. It's the Holy Spirit. And I came in this Sunday morning, boy, this particular Sunday morning, and I mean strife was everywhere. I was back in the back. Somebody come stomping down out of the out from behind the platform. And it's a person I had a lot of respect for. I never seen him act like that. Boy, there was a and I'm, what happened to him? And everybody I ran into had an attitude. I said, what happened to this church? And it about shut the whole thing down. I got up to pray, and I couldn't even pray like I prayed a while ago. I was stumbling over every word. And then finally I said, turn around, shake hands with the people around you. And I went and stood in front of her. I said, what in the world? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's the spirit of strife. You got to get it out of here, and you got to get it out of here right now. And nobody in the church then or now wants that. It just happened. And it may happen to you, may happen to your family. The devil will see to it at times that things happen. And you have to know you have authority over these things and shut it down. And just make sure it don't get in you. Yay. Sometimes, Dottie and I, if we have a spirit of strife, I rebuke it, and very often it leaves me. Very often it was me. Did you say amen? And so, Lord said, you got to get that out of here, and you got to get it out of here now. So I walked back up to the platform, and I said, folks, I said, a spirit of strife has come into this church. And we're going to rebuke it and get it out of here. And every one of them agreed with me. No one wanted that. So we all stood here, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you foul devil, you spirit of strife, I command you to leave this room and leave it right now. Is that loud enough? Does he need to turn the sound up a little? Is that loud enough? I was a little bit too loud, not the sound system. You know what? That thing left. I felt it leave. And people came to me after church and said, wow, when you did it, I felt something leave. Well, what if this had been a church where the pastor and people didn't believe in the power of God? This thing would have been over right then. It had been over right then. You need to be in a place where people know the authority and the power of God. That's why so many churches all over Knoxville has been destroyed. And that's one reason there's so many churches in Knoxville. Because people get in a big fight, get mad at each other, move next door and start another church. I would not go to a church that had was created in strife. Because they're all going to always have problems. Somebody say amen. This church was started, created because God told me to come here and start the church. This is the only pastor the church has ever had. And I've always believed what I'm preaching right now. And I've preached this message in different ways for 45 years. You can't have strife and have a good, healthy anything. Amen. And our enemies know that. That's why they're doing everything they can to have terrorists in this country to stir this thing up, create fear, doubt, unbelief, strife, anger, rebellion. But I'm telling you right now, God has shown me we're going to win this thing and America's going to survive. Can you say amen? He told me many years ago, he said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I've been standing still and watching. I'm telling you right now, God is doing some great things in this nation, no matter what anyone says or does. Know this, that God hadn't given up on this great country, but we've got to get back to love. We've got to reject hate, got to reject selfish ambition, got to reject strife. When we begin to love each other and help each other and bless each other, then all of us will be blessed. That's the way you get blessed. Everybody trying to bless everybody else. And you don't have to say amen. I already know it's good. Thank you, Jesus. I lost my place, so I guess I just start over. Dr. Martin Luther King totally rejected the hatred and the violence that we're seeing today. He said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. In the case of the Good Samaritan, you had people loving each other, literally hated each other. Samaritans hated the Jews. And it says this guy from Samaria found this guy from Jerusalem, which many was a Jew, laying in the ditch. And he treated him as best he could, took him to good safe place and said, take care of him. And when I get back, I'll pay you everything that you pay back to you, everything you've spent. That Jesus says, go and do likewise. Go and do that. If Americans would go and do that, our problems would be over. All hate has got to go. James chapter 3, verse 5. Likewise, the tongue, my goodness, I got through early in the first service, I'm running way behind in this service. You just never know how these things are going to go. James chapter 3, verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. What you say can destroy people. What I say can bless people or destroy people. Verse 9, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's image. He says the same tongue says good things about God, but attacks people. Verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This says, with our tongues, we curse men. And let me tell you, you married people, never run your mate down in public, ever. Never say anything bad about them. Well, it's true. Well, you don't have to tell it. There's things about me that's true I don't want told. There's things about you that are true you don't want told. We got to watch what we say about our mates, about our wives, our husbands. That your tongue can destroy your marriage. It is impossible to speak hate out of one side of the mouth and love out of the other side. When people slander, lie, and stir up hatred against someone, they can cause that person to commit suicide or even be murdered. Slander can lead to assassinations, as we saw in the case of Charlie Kirk. I didn't know a whole lot about him, but some say Charlie Kirk got what he deserved because he was preaching hate. I've done everything I can to know what he preached, and all I can see is he's reading the Bible just like I do. He's preaching about the same thing Billy Graham preached. He was more involved in politics, but he's trying to help these young people make good decisions. He's certainly not a cause to be shot for, but people accused him of hate speech. I've had some of my sermons listed as hate speech because I just read the Bible. Can you say amen? If you say abortion is murder, people hate you instantly. When we read the Bible to people, as I'm doing today, it is not hate, it's truth. Billy Graham preached the same message, and they hated him. After he died, I was amazed how many people hated him. They were talking about what a horrible person. I think you're talking about Billy Graham, the greatest preacher who's ever lived in the world, except for one. Can you believe that? Hate, where's that coming from? Jesus? God? Coming from Satan. And these secular humans, they don't even know who their daddy is. It's the devil. They will hate us too if we preach love one another. That's what they hate. They have to have hate to accomplish what they want. Division and strife and the destruction of this great country. They have to have hate. We come along and preach to one another like I'm preaching right now. They don't like that. They don't want that. That's not what they want because they're of the devil. Dr. Martin Luther King preached love and they hated him and killed him. But he's preaching love. As I said, I know a little bit about him. He wasn't perfect, but what he preached and taught, as far as I know, was good. All the way. And everybody being treated equal and having a level playing field. Anyone who doesn't believe in that really doesn't believe in the American way. James chapter 4 verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There it is. If you want to be blessed, put the kingdom first. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Verse 11, brothers, do not slander one another. Why do people slander? Because they're trying to get ahead of them. They're trying to tear everybody else down so they'll look better. But the problem with that is somebody's going to start slandering them and then everybody's going to be torn apart. It doesn't work. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. That is the truth. Quit trying to promote yourself. Start promoting other people. And next thing you know, you're being promoted. Brothers, do not slander one another. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. One witness is not enough. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. When you hear someone slandering somebody and say they're a racist, you know, they hate people, they're ungodly, you need to ask them a question. Can you prove that? How do you know that? And boy, that is certainly true in the church. You hear things going around, you say, what are you talking about? Linda Deering, she would never do that. Can you prove she did that? Well, no, I heard it. Well, then you better stop it. People around here love Linda. They'll kill you. In the name of Jesus. Y'all pay attention. A lot of preachers have been run off from a church because people made up lies and nobody made them prove it. People have been totally destroyed because Christians will not stand up and say, how do you know that? Amen. And I've had rumors sometimes start around the church about some members of this church years ago. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, how do you know that? They're a good person. What makes you think that? And one person told me this tale, and I defended it. I said, no, I don't believe that. Guess what? They got so mad at me, they turned on me and started telling lies about me all over the church. They were just a lying devil out of the pits of hell. And when I corrected them, boy, they exploded. Well, I don't care. I'm still going to defend the people of this church. Can you say amen? That's who I am. If someone slanders another person, we are required to ask for proof. People call each other racist all the time. What? What have you seen them do that's racist? That's the way people talk to get other people to hate each other. Ask questions. Find out why they're saying that. If we cannot prove it, it is slander. Reject slander. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. If you're born again, you will love people. If you do not love people, you may want to hit the altar again. Because the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. The first fruit of the Spirit is, what is it? What is it? If you're born again, you're going to have a little love. You can't help it. It's there. It's been put there. When you became got a new nature, God put love there. If we love someone, we will give them first place in line. If I'm at Starbucks and somebody comes in that I know and they're a good person, if I care about them, I say, hey, you want to go first? That's just my nature. And if somebody seems to be in a hurry, then of course I'm always in a hurry. But a lot of times I say, would you like to go first? You got to get that in you. And I hate using myself as an example because next time you see him at Starbucks, I'll blow it. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You're talking about racism. If you hate somebody for any reason, you're going to hell. Let me read again. Whoever hates his brother is, and when it says brother or neighbor, it means everybody. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Jesus said, love your neighbor. And that lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus said, it's everybody. The Samaritan, but just anybody, everybody. He helps the guy in the ditch. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say who his neighbor was. He says, go and do that. So when it says neighbor or brother, it means people. Period. Who did Jesus help? Jesus helped everybody. He helped demon-possessed people. He loved people, helped people, even called a tax collector to be one of his disciples. I mean, he loved and ministered everybody that was open to be ministered to. Verse 15, whoever hates anyone is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Strife leads to disaster. Is selfish ambition worth all the harm it causes? Is having our way worth a divorce? Is having our way worth destroying our homes, our families, our jobs, our careers, our church. I don't want my way. I want his way. You know why? Because I've tried it my way and it didn't turn out so good. Believe God's word and put the interests of others first. As God, and it's a tall order. There's no perfect people. But that should be our goal. James chapter 3, verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. I don't think you want that in your home. We sure don't want it in our church. I don't think you want that in your business where you work. I don't think you want that in your school, your university. Therefore, envy, selfish ambition, and strife cannot be tolerated. People who attack and fight each other cause conflict because of selfish ambition. Strife is the enemy. People gossip, slander, and hurt others to get their way. Those who have selfish ambition whip up people into an anger frenzy, as you see in this country. Strife has no positive benefits. Love produces positive results. Let's all stand.